Three, two, one. Anthony Darby.
Chuck Henn.
Donnie Jackson.
Special guest appearance, Donnie Jackson on the podcast today. Chuck just mentioned it. I honestly, this is probably one of the most excited that I've been as well. You know, for those that are unfamiliar, I've known Donnie now for damn near 14 years.
Man, it's been a while.
Donnie and I met in the bar restaurant scene in Ocean City. We had the privilege of working together a couple different times. And then even Donnie even managed the Bahama Mama's restaurant up north with Trish for a couple years as well. So I've known Donnie for a really, really long time. And to Donnie's testament, he is someone that it kind of goes all in when it comes to researching and understanding his craft. And I've seen it change a little bit over the years. So when Donnie was bartending with liquor, he was growing peppers in his backyard and making hot pepper tequila flavored margaritas, which still might be one of the best margaritas I've ever had to this day.
I gotta get the recipe for some spicy. Of those there, Donnie.
Spicy.
The you know, the beer scene comes along and Donnie's at the forefront. He's doing craft beers in 2006. I remember the conversation at Bahama Mama's when, you know, we had Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light on tap, and Donnie's trying to buy a keg of Burley Oak, which probably cost two times the amount of the keg of the Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, and the owner of Bahama Mama's just could not understand why, you know, you do that, and all of a sudden we take the stick and put it on the tap, and we're just boom, boom, boom. Yeah. We're selling tons and tons of craft beer because he was, you know, kind of ahead of the curve, but had his finger on the pulse that this is something that's going to change. And, you know, now it's crazy to think if you owned a bar or restaurant and didn't have at least one craft, you know.
Probably 10 by now.
Now it's with restaurants. Every restaurant, it's kind of their draw. I mean.
Yeah. What's your tap list? What's on your list?
Like, yeah. So, this pattern is no different now that you're in cannabis. And Donnie and I have been using cannabis together unfortunately far before it was a legal process. But we always shared this concept that cannabis wasn't medicine. It was something that wasn't there for abuse and wasn't there just to get high or stoned, although that happens sometimes. And we kind of always just throughout the years, that was kind of the one thing that kept us in touch with each other was cannabis. And as I was going through this process, there was a lot of times where I would have an hour to myself, and, you know, Donnie was bartending, so he was typically working nights, and I'd be like, hey, can I come by the garage and just talk to you? We just go through, this is what we're facing. These are challenges. Like, I think I'm going to have a job for you in a year. I think I'm going to have a job for you in 6 months. I may or may not. I would argue that Donnie was probably the first person that we hired. He was definitely on that short list in the very beginning. I knew I wanted to bring you in. And I guess along this pattern of kind of being on the forefront of things, you were in a concentrates. How long have you been in concentrates now?
I think I could comfortably say probably the last 9 years.
You were making bubble hash in Ocean City before I had any clue why you had these 13 bags. And you were trying to explain the process to me. Yeah. And at that point, like, I was just finally getting like weed with names. Like, I was like, I got a blue dream. You're like, I'm taking this and I'm mixing ice with it. And I'm making a bubble hash. I'm just like, what? So you've been doing this for a long time. And when our dispensary opened, for me, honestly, the curve happened very quickly. We went from having six products to all of a sudden now I'm told I need to buy a refrigerator because we're getting live resin and sugars and batters and butters and I'm I'm like, you know, what does this mean? And quite frankly, I mean, I knew what shatter was, but I was always scared. My entrance into concentrates was delayed due to fear and safety concerns. Before we opened up, the way that you got concentrates, unless it was brought from out of state, was typically some self-proclaimed chemist in his garage. The same kid who couldn't pass 10th grade chemistry class, but now is going to convince me.
He's mixing up that
he's gotten all the butane out of his shatter. It smells like butane. It tastes like butane. I don't believe you.
Not good. Yeah. So that's definitely the sketchy part for sure.
In the beginning, it was really just an issue of, like, you know, this is some chemistry happening here, and these guys are using solvents that typically, if you're smoking these solvents, inhaling these solvents, there's going to be negative side effects. So I was really, really nervous to get into it. But then once, you know, we were getting them lab tested, they were coming through Maryland's program. I got to tour some of these facilities. I immediately, like a light bulb, you know, I lit up. I'm trying to think of, you know, probably maybe the best way to navigate through this is maybe we go through some of the different types of concentrates that we've seen. And start from the very beginning. So let's start with the process of how they're made, right? So there's going to be some concentrates, like the live res that I made. They're starting, I mean, they're getting fresh frozen flour, and they're starting that process well before it's even cured for a lot of times, right?
Yeah,
right.
For sure. Live resin is definitely going to be like cryo froze or sub-zero froze, fresh trim product, and then process that way rather than curing it. And, you know, through the curing process, you lose volatile terpenes. So
that's like, you know, the idea of shatter versus something like a live res sugar is the shatter is basically they're stripping out a lot of the cannabinoids and any terpenes that they can get out of that. But that flower's been drying, it's been cured, and typically you can kind of imagine these huge sacks that of like a cheesecloth material, and they're just stuffing tons and tons of flour in there, and they're either putting them through a butane extraction process or even a CO2 extraction process, and what they're left with is that kind of distillate at that point, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be it's definitely going to be similar to that for sure.
So that's why, like, when we have Mandy in here and he's talking about that first run of process and how they're preserving the terpenes and the cannabinoids, that's the only true way that you're going to get that flowery taste. That's what I get super excited about in the concentrates is when someone takes a concentrate and they're able to preserve the terpenes and the profiles in a way like Rhythm does in our cartridges, or like we've seen, like G Leaf does a really great job of this in a lot of their live res products. I give that so much more weight than I do when someone just runs a distillate process and then gets some botanically derived terpenes from TrueTerpene.com, and then all of a sudden they go, here's GDP.
That's definitely controversial, to say the least, I feel like, in our industry, is that botanical terpene. Like, I as a purist, I hear that and I'm immediately turned off, unfortunately. And I mean, that's not to say that those products are not good, but at the same time, when I understand what everything is, I want the most of the cannabis plant at one time as possible when I'm medicating. So why, when I have access to these extremely refined and fine
cannabis
concentrates,
derived.
Yeah, why do I even dip into that? You know, I guess I just don't have to.
I'm in the exact same boat. I'm like a self-proclaimed terpene snob. I remember the first time I had a conversation with one of the processors, and the idea of coming up with kind of like a white labeled product came up. And I said, "Well, like, which strain is this?" He goes, "Oh, you can just pick." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he like sends me to a website, and there's basically 15 names of very predominant cannabis strains, and they put these like terpene packages together, and it was like, well, we'll make whatever you want, and we can, you know, you can get a GDP flavored terpene package that we'll add to just straight THC, and then we'll white label it Peninsula Pride or whatever. I was like, no thank you, I don't want my name on that.
I appreciate what like the cosmetic industry has done as far as like taking a cannabis strain and trying to emulate that aroma and flavor with botanical terpenes. But that being said, man, it is an extremely hard process to do. And it's you know, you've tasted some of them. They're not the same.
Not at all.
They're not the same. I taste them a mile away.
You could blindfold Donnie and I, line us up for the taste test competition. Yeah. I could tell you linalool from lavender over linalool from cannabis. I feel like I could tell you 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
And we've gotten really, I mean, I took a picture on IG this weekend of a vape cart that I got, Girl Scout Cookie from Rhythm, 8.25% terps. I mean, it was action packed.
Wow.
And those are all cannabis derived terps. Yeah. I mean, to Donnie's point, that's not an easy process. That's not an easy product to
make.
And
it's not a cheap process either.
So when I see those guys go through all that work, I do kind of stub my nose at the guys that just said, well, we just ran it through this extraction one round, ripped THC out, and then we'll just grab this other stuff, throw it in there, put it in a cartridge, and send it out the door.
I understand it.
And well, I think that, I mean, just like you guys are talking about, where people, I mean, I think that's the market, right? A lot more people this day and age want the whole natural plant, mm-hmm. just like what they want the whole natural foods, right? So I think as you see the market mature, people are going to start to realize this. They realize what's getting put in their body. They don't want stuff. They want the natural cannabis plant.
That's a great comparison too. So. Like the whole organic food.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you talk about it like that, where we're, you know, adding terpenes back, kind of, I mean, it's just not for everybody.
So there's certainly syrup, a market for it, just like everything else.
It's like we could use real sugar, we could use honey, but instead we use corn syrup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is, it's sweet, right? Like it does the trick, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So right now in our dispensary, we have Shatter, which is going to be that later process, right? And typically the price points will also correlate to the level of finish. So oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes Shatter is going to be one of the more price conscientious concentrates in-house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I just tried some new Shatter from MPX this week. The Shatter has gotten really good. I mean,
holy moly, that stuff's translucent, isn't it?
It is. It's thick, and not thick, but it's very brittle. It's very solid. It's sitting in my basement. It's not in a refrigerator. It's not bendy. It's not malleable. It's real translucent. It's really, really strong. It was at 88%. So they're doing a good job of the extraction process. I thought that I was really impressed with that. So we have Shatter, right? And then what's probably the next level up?
We have some cured sugars, which are going to be processed from dried cured bud, which, like we said earlier, just, I don't want to say that they're not as good, but they're less terpy for sure.
We definitely see lower terpene profiles on them. You may see closer to 2-3% in those products. Where some of, like I mentioned, you know, some of the other products you're seeing 8, 10, 12.
We have some, to jump up into like the diamonds and sauces, the really difficult extraction processes, they get upwards of 25% terpenes, which is crazy.
You know? So let me ask this question, since I am the newbie at this stuff as well. So we have Shatter, right? We have sugar, we have batter, we have butter. We have all these different types of things, and it still confuses me how they're all concentrates, right? And essentially, for the most part, it's the same process. It's just how do you get to the different consistencies at the end of it?
Yeah, I think every strain and every extraction company does things a little differently to manipulate the concentrate to get it to be what consistency they want, you know? But for the most part, like you said, it's all pretty much the same extraction method, you know. There are a couple that really stand alone. Short path distillation is going to be a lot different than making rosin, you know. But each has their
own. Also, it's the stage of the plant that it gets processed is probably the biggest. Like, so I guess the two biggest differences, as I know it, is going to be, is it basically fresh, frozen, or just like as soon as the plant is able to be picked and taken down to a process to be processed, or is it hung, dried, cured, and then processed? And then the second probably largest differentiation is going to be, is it processed through distillation or is it processed through CO2 basically like a solvent style distillation like we see, or is it going to be a CO2 supercritical extraction, correct?
And most of the stuff we've seen in Maryland is blown like with a solvent, you know. But as rigorous as the testing is in Maryland, I don't think any patient should ever worry about solvents being present in a concentrate at a dispensary, because they really put us through the ringer, and no other state compares to how Maryland does
their testing.
That's
an excellent point. So like I remember meeting and going and seeing Liberty's lab, and it's funny, like when you meet these guys are straight chemists and scientists, and they're fucking nerds, and they're very adamant about what they're doing. I made the comment because obviously my loyalty to Rhythm and my opinion on CO2 extraction is almost maybe a little biased, because I think that's like the best thing to do. The guy at Liberty was talking, and he goes, well, first off, if you're doing this right, then you can use whatever solvent you want, because there shouldn't be any left if you're doing it right. Like, we're all experts here. We do this at a very large commercial grade, so don't be concerned necessarily what the solvent is, because as long as I'm doing my job right, there won't be any trace of that solvent left. The other part was is that there's different levels of CO2 quality. So if someone's not using high quality CO2, the one thing about most of these butane extraction rigs that I've seen is they recycle almost everything.
Oh yeah, closed right? loop. Yeah,
they're all closed loop, and because they're closed loop, the efficiency of the solvent and the purity of the solvent is almost like next to none. Where if you're using CO2 and you don't have high quality CO2, you can run into some issues there. So there's value to all of these forms of processing for sure. I don't want to make it seem like we're high on one or the other, but for as connoisseurs, we're all going to have our preferences.
Yeah, we have our opinions. I feel like this industry is, man, it's a lot of opinion, man. It's a whole lot. Our endocannabinoid systems are all different. The medication is different from batch to batch. Even if you find that magic one, it's going to be slightly different the next time. So it's all just, it's all about us as an individual patient in this program, you know.
More. You and I, we enjoy a lot more of the same medicine than our nose would lead us to believe. What I say by that is like, typically when I smell something, if I love it, Donnie is like, it's disgusting.
We're opposites.
And Donnie be like, oh, I'll smell this. And I'm like, that smells like moldy cheese feet or something. Like, that does not smell great to me. But when we consume it, it typically, you know, we find our way down that path. But, you know, the nose knows in a lot of ways.
It does.
And I just, you know, I think a lot of times we're medicating for different things and the endocannabinoid systems are different. So if we say something on here and you find it grossly to be not true to you, you know, everyone's different here. This is not...
Sure.
I hope that when folks, you know, folks like Chuck who are listening to this and trying to learn something aren't taking what we're saying as this is the way it is, and if you don't do it this way, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
We're going to show lots of different ways to heat up a banger. We're going to go through lots of different ways of tools to use. Everyone's going to have to find what works out for them. But, you know, as we move through the process of quality of products, we talked about shatter, we talked about sugars. Like, for me, the end-all be-all are these diamonds and sauce.
Crazy, man. You talk about a unicorn, man. Like, after dabbing for so long and thinking that I knew what was what, and then having a concentrate like that, it changes the game, man.
If you've never seen it, like, we're talking diamonds and sauce. We're talking about a literally clear-looking diamond of THC.
And what's a diamond?
I mean, picture, if you're married, picture your old lady's ring. And that's exactly what it looks like. It's translucent, so it's clear. It looks just like a unfinished diamond. And the process, they'll separate. It's always done with fresh frozen, and what they're basically separating the terpenes from the cannabinoids, and you're getting a honeyish style viscosity, which is terp sauce, and Donnie's like, as I said, they can get up to 24% terpenes we're seeing in there.
Yeah, and we're talking sometimes upwards of 60% THC2 or THCA. So this isn't just like flavor and aroma. This is full spectrum. Like, you could literally dab the sauce on its own. You know, the diamonds are just the icing on the cake.
It's expensive. It's fairly expensive compared to. It's funny you talk about expense. You know, we were going through last week. Our concentrates are almost half of what they were a year ago.
I know, yeah.
We have grams for 40 now.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't get a half gram for under 50 before.
Yep.
So these are, you know, the diamonds and sauce are going to run you around $100 for a gram.
Mm-hmm.
But it's incredible potent medicine. This is not something that you need a ton of. And the taste and the flavor profile for me, that was the biggest thing. For me, the biggest difference between dabbing versus smoking that is a positive for me is the taste profile. So when you were just scorching your flower with a lighter, you're getting a lot more burnt taste than you are or anything else. I kind of transitioned. So I had a pregnant wife that didn't want me stinking up the house smoking flower. Lucky for me, I own a dispensary and I had lots of concentrates, so it wasn't an argument that I was willing to have.
Yeah.
I just made my transition over to concentrate. Said no problem,
yeah.
Get it taken care of. and I was exclusively using a dab rig for about 90 days. And I've never smoked cigarettes. I've never liked smoking, the actual smoking. I went back to taking a bong hit, and honestly, that's all I tasted was that kind of charred flower taste.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Once you've been away from it for a while, I mean, you get it immediately, and it's very off-putting.
When you dab, and you dab at the right temperature, which is a caveat, you can really get a real full flavor profile, and you can even... If you do it right, you follow the concentrate through different temperatures.
Big time.
And understand that at different temperatures, it's going to release different terpenes. And as those terpenes are being released at different temperatures, you're getting a full flavor profile. It's like wine. It's like anything else that's full-bodied. I mean, for those of us that are really into that and can pick up the details of it, it's something that is unattainable in flower. It's impossible to get that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. The flavor profiles are way, way, way headier on a dab. I mean, you can't get it through smoking flower.
So, you know, I think when folks are maybe laying in their head, well, why would I, you know, I've used flower for all this time. Why would I transition? I'm not necessarily trying to get more stoned or get more intoxicated. There's a lot of benefits to dabbing, and if you walk away with nothing else from today's podcast, just understand it. Look, that people are dabbing not just to get overly stoned. If you go on YouTube and you see someone slab dabbing, as Chuck always likes to reference and stuff, then yeah, I mean, those guys are overdoing it, and that's not, in my mind, medicating, and they're likely, if they have that much, it's probably crappy stuff anyway, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No one needs that much, man.
You know, would waste that. You know, no one's going to take a baller jar of diamonds and just throw it in and just try to crush it in a single setting.
Nah.
But a lot of folks, like myself, you know, it was about the taste, it was the profile. There's also a lot of benefits around how often I have to medicate. For me, and I've kind of come full circle. So, you know, I went exclusively where all I was using was concentrates. I found out that wasn't the best mix for me, because my tolerance was just getting built up too quickly. So now I typically use flower with a little mix of vape pen, and then I save dabbing for the evening time. So I'm basically getting strong indicas, and I could dab in the evening and just go downstairs one single time and then be good for the rest of the night.
Absolutely.
And that's really what I enjoy, is the fact that I don't have to have the same repetition. I don't have to go down as much. I'm a busy guy chasing around lots of little kids, and being able to sneak down for 3 minutes to the basement, medicate, jump back up into life is really a benefit. You're in the same boat, right?
Yeah, and how long would it take you, you know, how long would it take you to get to that point being comfortable with medicating if you were taking bong hits or bowl hits or smoking?
You know, several bong hits, and I would have to come down several times because it wouldn't be comfortable for me just to sit there and do... Like, that's another thing, is just the idea of keeping my lungs fresh. And, like, I'm not someone that loves smoking. So to take 10 bong hits to get the same where I can get with one dab hit, I'd rather take a dab hit.
And how does your beard smell after you come upstairs after the dab hit, you know, compared to smoking those 20 bong hits?
So, like, I don't know if the last 15 years of my life I've walked around just constantly smelling like weed to everyone and not realizing it. I'm sure someone in the comments will mention it.
I remember.
Or if I just became hypersensitive to it. But that's the one thing about the smell. Like, when I went back to smoking flower, my sensitivity towards that smell now in my beard, in my clothes, all my clothes, even just in the basement itself, I'm way more sensitive to the smell now than I was before I left. And those are all benefits of both vape pens and the dab ring. So, we went through the different types of concentrates. Is there one that, like, when someone comes in and they're looking to get their feet wet, toes wet for the first time, do you typically suggest Shatter to start off, or do you?
Well, Nature's Heritage blessed us with Dab Tabs, which is a really approachable, easy way to get into dabbing, especially if you don't understand dosing or you can't handle it correctly.
So you're recommending them. You think that's a great way for folks to start?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Nature's Heritage gave us the ability to encompass a sativa, a nice, well-balanced hybrid, and an indica, which is going to suit the bill of most patients walking through the door. I mean, if we have to really get down and dirty and pinpoint stuff, you know, I might not be able to use a dab tabs, but 90% of the time, that's usually the first thing that I would send someone out the door with.
That makes total sense. For those folks unfamiliar, these dab tabs are almost like a tablet style form. Is it charcoal or is it?
They're using a ceramic and distillate. Okay. Actually, with this round.
And basically, the ceramic, picture almost like a gel tab where you have like a little bit of the liquid or the distillate inside this ceramic tab. And as you put the ceramic tab into your hot banger, it heats up the ceramic tab and then releases some of the medicine. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask one question. Is it, and I don't know if this is getting ahead of ourselves before we go through with the live, with the demonstration here. But for the dab tabs, can you drop those into the banger before you heat them up, or do you heat them up first?
Yeah.
Because I know there's different, that's like, for me as a beginner, that's one of the hardest things, right? Is mm-hmm. as soon as we'll talk about this, is finding the right, the temperature, the heat, when to drop it in, know when to pull it out, that whole
Yeah, this thing right here gives people a lot of questions and concern. We're definitely going to dive into that. Yeah. My first reaction to the dab tabs was, no, thank you. But I'm not a brand new person using concentrates for the first time. So I'm really glad to hear that.
What's the dosing?
So each dab tab has roughly 50 milligrams of THC. So that's if you're taking a gram of shatter and you're taking 15 dabs, which is pretty common, that's you're getting about 50 milligrams a dab, which is solid. And you don't have to use the whole dab tab at once. Yeah. I would prefer to cold start them and use drop the dab tab in the banger and then heat it, rather than heating the banger and doing the whole thing at one time. Now, that's just my preference, though.
No, it's cool that, I mean, it's a really novel product, because the truth is I think that a lot of people are on the sidelines that have interest in dabbing, but it seems overwhelming for them. And we're going to break down some of the different tools that you're going to need, how to use the torch, a couple different ways that you can use the torch, because there are some different ways that you can use it as kind of a newbie that you may evolve off of as you get to do it more and more. But in the beginning, it'll protect you, because I can tell you that honestly, one of the worst things that can happen to you as a newbie, someone who's dab naive, as we'll start using the terminology, is if you take too much, too hot, you're going to have a coughing spell. Yeah. Like you've never experienced, maybe since like the first time if you took like a huge bong hit on accident, your very first time smoking weed. You can get the sweats. I mean, it can be a really unpleasant experience, especially if you're not someone that has a really high THC tolerance. Something like the dab tab, it's going to have a maximum release of 50 milligrams and it's going to be a little bit easier for someone to play with, as opposed to the caveat, which would be someone comes in, they don't listen to Donnie, they just break that gram in half, throw it in there after 45 seconds of heating it up with the banger, and then, call for a half hour and then maybe sit in their bathtub or something.
Yeah. They're probably going to get hungry and sleepy at some point.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to die, which is good, they're not going to have a great time, which is is what we hope. So, yeah. All right, let's go through tools and then we'll go through different kind of methods of heating up. So what do you got in front of us today?
So I bought a couple things in from the shop. Now, this is definitely not all encompassing. I mean, there are so many products out on the market today. I couldn't even begin to tell you all of them. We went to the trade show in AC. You saw what's available, and that's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's a lot more. You saw the booklets. I mean, there are hundreds of pages of these products available to us. We'll go over a couple of the most common pieces.
Quality of glass, real quick, is going to be the difference in the price for a lot of things. So if you're that was the thing that my takeaway. We went to a glass show, Chuck, and the same banger that. It looks like the same thing. I mean, one could be $100 and one could be $8.
Yeah.
This might sound familiar, but where is the glass sourced? Where is it processed? Where is it made? And then how well does it hold temperature? All those things, they're not all created equal. When we go through the different heating options, it's all going to be based upon your individual need and product.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And other pieces of the pie, too. Like, dabbing is just so There's so many little ins and outs to it, and there's so many little variables. I feel like everyone's situation is a little different. And through my experience, I like to try to watch other people session up, because I take something from everybody, whether it be a positive or a negative, something that I don't want to do or something that I would like to emulate, you know. There's
the
like
guy
no,
who touched the banger. Don't do that.
Sizzlers. That hurts. That had to hurt his fingers. You know, I don't feel like there's like a, there's not, if you're looking for the perfect way to do this, there's no perfect way to do this. It's your perfect way to do this.
Every substance is going to be different. Like it will be. I don't dab shatter at the same temperature that I dab diamonds. Like it's got to be hotter for diamonds, or if not, you're just going to have a puddle of nothing. And if you use that same temperature for shatter, then you basically would just scorch it. So all this stuff is going to come with experience, right? And I would suggest that until I started doing it myself without Donnie literally kind of walked me through it, getting into dabbing, and then I had to go home and just practice myself. And sometimes I would just say, okay, I don't have a lot to do this afternoon. I'm going to do little dabs, but I'm going to do a bunch of them, play with getting my temperature right, play with how my carb cap difference, all these different things are all going to make a difference in your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the most essential pieces of the puzzle are going to be a rig. Now, if we're talking rig, there are dab pens, like vaporizer pens, you know, and stuff like that. But I think the most efficient way to get the most out of your medication is through a rig and a torch.
Yeah, let's just take the pens, and even like, you know, we have live res vape carts coming in now. I mean, it's the same exact substance that we're using here, but for sake of argument, we're going to throw any type of pen or throw that out there. We're talking basically, you're going to go and buy some glass, you're going to use a torch.
Okay. Oh, my
and,
man.
And this is how you're going to go. So
first off, you need to get yourself a water piece. So we have a nice little recycler here. The second piece of the puzzle, now the rig or the bong is going to be pretty common. I know everybody's seen these guys. They come in all shapes and forms, big, tall, small. They make little tiny rigs this big, and they make giant ones 6 feet tall. The next part of the puzzle would be your banger or your nail. So the art of dabbing is really just applying a cannabis concentrate to a hot nail and vaporizing it. So this is going to be our hot nail. They come in all different shapes and sizes as well, just like the rigs. This is going to be a tall, skinny banger. We also have thermochromic bangers, which are going to be better for a beginner dabber. It's got some thermochromic quartz in there. I don't know if we can get a close-up of this guy at some point, but I'm sure we could.
That means it's going to change colors, right?
Yeah, this quartz is actually going to change color when you heat it. Depending on how hot you have it, it's going to go all the way up from yellow at room temperature to orange to red when it's too hot to dab. So it's kind of a cool item for a beginner dabber, a little visual temperature point, you know.
That would be just coming as a beginner dabber, completely inexperienced. If I were to go about it again, I think that might be something that's probably super helpful.
For sure. It's definitely going to give you that visual, like, I'm ready to dab, you know, rather than feeling it with your hand or however you choose to do it. Some people use their wrist or their forearm. So next up, a different type of banger we also carry is a splash guard banger. Now, this is for someone like Darby or I who uses dabbing to medicate primarily. If you're going to be doing it a lot, you'll notice that you'll get some stuff called reclaim in your bong. It's like a gooey, recondensed oil pretty much inside of your bong. It gets pretty sticky and stuff. This will actually stop that from going into your bong. It's got this little beveled edge here, where you can, it kind of rolls over itself as you pull it up the banger rather than coming down the neck.
I think that's something to mention, because this can be messy.
It can
be clean. Like, I find it that it's cleaner than smoking flower because I don't have the ash and I don't have, like, it's like you're constantly breaking up weed, so you have weed everywhere. So it can be cleaner than flower, but that in particular, that reclaim, is not something that you want to get and on your floor. It can definitely be a pain.
It's definitely sticky and stuff. You know, I feel like as expensive as concentrates are and everything, you have to take care of it. You have to, like, I've seen someone eat a chili dog and, man, they had it all over themselves. And I've also seen people eat a chili dog and they were clean, you know. So it is possible to dab and take care of your things. I mean, that's the really the only way that I medicate. And I'm pretty high and tight with mine, you know. You just have to pay attention to it. And
so we'll go through, you know, we'll go through some of the maintenance that you do. I know that you have Q-tips and alcohol ready mm-hmm. and all that stuff once yeah. we get through the rest of the pieces.
Okay.
So moving on.
So another banger we carry. This is a trough banger. It's basically made to just have more surface area. It's not a heat retention thing. This is just made so you have more hot surface to vaporize your medication. That's for someone who needs a little bit bigger dosage, you know. Just available for you.
I guess less likely to get the pooling up. Is that
for sure? Yeah, that's going to be less likely to. It's going to vaporize your concentrate quicker because there's more surface area for you to touch. You know, just like dabbing out of a larger quartz banger. This little bad boy. We were talking about Reclaim. This is a Reclaimer drop down. This is actually going to keep your Reclaim
out of your bong?
Yeah, keep your Reclaim out of your bong. The main thing it does is keep it dry. So if you're going to reuse your Reclaim, some people re-dab it, and Reclaim has sometimes upwards of 70% of the cannabinoid value. We know terpenes are probably going to be gone in Reclaim, but you can still re-medicate with it. The trouble is, if you clean it out of the lower part of your bong where the water is, when you dab it, if you don't purge all the water off, right? It sizzles, yeah, and pops. So this will allow you to collect it and reuse it immediately, which is nice.
Especially for people that are cost conscientious. It's not the same as res, but if you use that concept, you could use it. I mean, you could.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If I was in a pinch and I ran out and I was looking at a bunch of Reclaim in the bottom of that thing, I'd have zero issues scraping it up, putting on a dab tool and dabbing it.
Well, for sure. You know, I think with concentrates at the price they're at, you know, getting two uses out of your medication is wonderful. I think not dabbing it is probably best off. I think that putting it into an edible would be more beneficial for you. And when you think about all that CBN in there after the THC has been oxidized, it's going to be really good for like relaxation and sleep aid.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that metal guy over there?
So this metal guy here is, we're talking about nails. This is, I'm sure some people still use these, and I'm not knocking any of those people, but I myself and my concentrate journey have graduated away from this. This is a domeless titanium nail. I'm pretty sure most people start on these guys. You know, this is like the introductory, easy breezy. It heats up fast. It cools down fast. So that being said, your window to get a good temperature dab on a nail like this is so much smaller than a quartz banger. Quartz bangers hold heat retention, and you know, you can.
Like 5 years ago, all the banger, like, there wasn't like the same piece of glass used for most bongs weren't being fit with the quartz bangers, right?
No, yeah.
You basically were getting one that had the glass nail in it if you had a nice one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're getting the old nail and dome.
And dome. Yeah.
And everybody, well, anyone who's ventured into concentrates around that era know that the nail and dome is a very tough way to dab. It's not efficient. You waste a lot. I've had the nails explode before from getting them so hot. I mean, you know, it's,
yeah, using a banger and carb cap is definitely a way easier way to go. It's funny, like, you know, how fast the stuff evolves.
It is. I think a lot of West Coast customs are coming to the East Coast slowly but surely. I know quartz bangers have been around for a while, but us on the East Coast we saw that stuff on the internet. That was about it, you know.
So wild.
Yeah.
Carb caps, you want to talk carb caps?
Yeah, so carb cap is going to be another essential part to dabbing efficiently. Once again, early in my dabbing career, I didn't use a carb cap. I didn't understand it. I was just taking 1,000-degree hot dabs on a titanium nail, and that was not the best thing to do.
You're not getting the full flavor profile in that.
No flavor. Style. Yeah, at that point, I feel like when you're flash vaporizing, the terpene profile is not important. Yeah, it's not there. It's not. You're not getting any benefit from it. You're literally just getting cannabinoid to the brain, you know. But a carb cap is actually going to it's going to act as a convection oven. You know, she's going to roll the heat over the concentrate and keep it the same temperature in there for longer rather than pulling a lot of air through. And also, it's going to restrict your vapor to air ratio. So if you've ever taken a dab without a carb cap, you blow it out and the cloud is mildly gray, it's thin, it's airy. Carb cap is going to give you that milky, milky vapor on your exhale. And that being said, it's also going to accentuate all your concentrate. The longer you can keep that nail hot, you're guaranteed to finish your dab rather than leaving a puddle inside, you know?
That particular carb cap, I don't know how good the visual is going to be on it, is my favorite, the little ball. It reminds me of like a 70s video game where it's a ball with a hole drilled all the way through it. And how you manipulate that airflow through there manipulates how thick of and the smoke you get for the dab. So like you get to a point where you don't, you know, you think you're kind of almost out, and all of a sudden you manipulate that ball a little bit and get the...
You push that concentrate to a hot spot and she just blows right back up.
It starts coming back again. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and without that, you know, these carb caps are actually low flow carb caps. So some carb caps will have a 5 millimeter hole, 10 millimeter hole. This bad boy is about 2 millimeters. She's extremely small. So when you talk thicker, more efficient medicating, that's definitely going to help you for sure.
You got something else over there that I like using sporadically. There's certain times that I'll use the nectar collector. I think it's a good option for some folks that aren't going to be using a lot and are going to be basically using small little doses and maybe a little bit intimidated by the bong side. The nectar collector is a good option for them. So
for sure. It's definitely a, you know, it's always my first thought for a mobile on the go thing too. If I'm not at my house, you know, everyone knows carrying a rig around is near impossible. So if you're that type of medicator, having something like a nectar collector, you keep yourself a little torch and you have your concentrate jar, and it's, you know, it's
so
very
basically
easy.
The nectar collector, if you're gonna hold that up, you're going to heat the bottom of it right there and then almost use like a straw. So you heat that up. I would typically do it between 10-15 seconds depending on what type of concentrate I'm using, depending on what type of torch I'm using.
Absolutely.
And then let it cool down for a second and then just stick it right in there and a nice gentle inhale through the straw. And it's a really great way to medicate small doses. And Donnie said it's really a great mobile way of dabbing.
Yeah, absolutely. A little water filtration in there as well, which always helps.
So heating up and how long you need to heat up is kind of a really up to everyone, right? Some folks are going to want hot dabs. Some folks are going to want to try to do low temp dabs.
It's going to depend on your nail, your torch, what temperature is outside. I mean, my dabbing experience for me is exactly the same every time. I do things the exact same way in the exact same spot. But in the wintertime when I go out to my shed to take a dab, I have to heat longer. One, because the nail's colder.
Is cold.
And the torch
nail's
is cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
Everything
so
is.
Everything, like when you get into this stuff, you really have to be aware of what's going on. And you know.
You told me yourself, like even though you're really consistent in how you dab, when you actually hooked the thermometer and saw it, it was all from what you thought it was, right?
Yeah, now I'm wondering in my head, since I've told you that, is it the thermometer or is it me? But yeah, man, it was really cool. I put a thermal thermometer on my banger the other day for the first time, and I really pride myself in dabbing. Obviously, that's why I'm here. But I was over 100 degrees off of what I thought I was. And anyone who knows, 100 degrees in dabbing is a lot.
It is a lot, but it's also very easy to be off by that much, especially if the scientific method that we're using is holding your hand
absolutely.
Over top of the glass. That's kind of your preferred method, right?
Yeah, I like to hold my hand over it or gently blow into the banger and let the air come back and hit me in my lips. I feel like our lips are super sensitive to heat, so that's usually a really good telltale sign for me. Now that being said, I've taken a lot of dabs too, so it's not easy. It's not something that you're just going to go out.
It's a touch and feel thing that you're going to get through experience.
Absolutely.
So before I add my two cents, tell me if I'm a new patient coming in and I'm going, to, I've, I've I'm past the dab tabs, and I'm going to move on to, you know, maybe some live res, some sugar. Tell me how I should heat it up and kind of what I should be looking for.
Well,
are you telling them to use a timer? Are you telling them to do like 20 on, 20 off? Or
I usually go with a 2-to-1 method. If I ever if I have my way with it, now everyone gets to do what they want in there, you know. But if I have my way with it, you know, they start with the dab tabs, and that alone gives you the confidence of heating a torch for a certain amount of time. You know, you're going to heat it for 20 seconds. You know, that count of 20 should become normal in your head. So I go with a 2-to-1. You heat for 20 seconds, let it cool down for 10 seconds, and dab. It's always easier to take a dab at a lower temperature and reheat rather than take a hot dab and suffer that uncomfortableness, you know, that could happen.
You'll know you're taking your dab too low if you don't have the concentration of vapor that you're looking for, and you're seeing kind of a pool or puddle of the concentrate in your banger. That if you don't do anything, that's without adding additional heat, that's just going to stay there in the bottom of your banger. So you need to heat it up, or you want to make sure you clean it out after you're done.
Yep. Q-tip tech.
It's kind of a 2-to-1.
Do you do a cold start dab at all?
Yes, yes. So cold start dabbing is definitely an easy way to get into dabbing as well. You're basically going to apply your concentrate inside the banger, place your carb cap, and heat for usually under 10 seconds depending on your torch and banger situation.
I count 7 to 10. As soon as I start to see it, the sizzle, then I typically know that it's good, and then I go, the cold start dab is like the dad dab, right? Like,
yeah.
I have 15 seconds to be in and out, and you can grab a concentrate, throw it in there, cover it, heat it up, hit it, and you're gone. Yeah. It's the fastest way. It uses the least amount of torch. It's not a horrible way to go, but I wouldn't advise it if you have something like diamonds or you have these higher-end concentrates. You're really going to want to take the time, heat your nail, let it cool, try to find the optimal temperature. But if it's just something that's not that great and you're just in a hurry, the cold start's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, the quick, easy cold start. She's a ruler. She's the easy one. I feel like it's always going to be easier to just heat that bad boy up for 10 seconds, you know, and play with the temp.
So out west dictates what happens over here. What if anything do you see coming to Maryland? There's something that I've seen out there I think I have in mind, but what do you see or what?
Well, as fast as Maryland is growing and concentrates being like a step up from a lot of the way that people have medicated in the past or have begun to medicate since we've opened, I think that concentrate game is just going to get stronger and stronger. So that being said, I think that larger amounts of concentrate rather than just half grams or full grams, we should start seeing a lot of these guys, which we kind of
already have. The ball jars at 3.5.
Yep. And I think that all just fully the dab life is going to make its way over here. So we're going to get into, you know, the heady glass and all of that stuff that comes with it. As far as like the level of concentrates there, like I said earlier, I feel like Maryland is top dog when it, I mean, I'm confidently telling my patients that this is some of the nation's best concentrate.
I would have to argue. I mean, we have 99% diamonds. I mean, you're not going to go to Vegas and all of a sudden see like anything, you know, anything stronger or any higher terpene profiles. We have the strongest testing.
Yeah, it doesn't get better.
I would agree with you. One of the things that I think about in my mind is out west, you see a lot of dispensaries. They'll actually press the bud right inside the dispensary. So you go out and you pick up your quarter of Blue Dream or whatever it is, particular strain that you want, and you go over to the press guy and think of like a woman's flat iron almost.
Yeah.
Think of like almost what they make t-shirts out of, like in those big t-shirt presses.
Mm-hmm.
And you're throwing your butt in there, you're pressing it, and you're scraping off that fresh pressed rosin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really amazing material. And you can, I mean,
some of the finest.
Let me ask my newbie question here. After you fresh press it, say I'm out west, I go to the dispensary, I buy an eighth of Stardog, I go have it pressed. Once it's pressed right there in the dispensary, you take it home and it can be dabbed. mm-hmm. right? From that point, there's no further, I guess.
There's no anything needed, there's right? There's no solvents. There's no processing. You have the money in it. You're basically taking. Think about where your terpenes and cannabinoids are sitting. They're sitting in the trichomes of the bud, yep. in the hairs and the end tips. So you take a little heat and a lot of pressure, thousands of pounds of pressure, right?
Mm, yeah.
And you're just pushing all of that oil and all of those the goodness out. And what you're left with is pretty much this leafy matter. Then at that point, and the goodness is. I mean, I've seen dudes do it in their house.
Sorry, you probably heard those last sentences. I've seen guys literally take wax paper, parchment paper, bud, and then like the hair press, and
hair
just squeeze it, and then flip the bud off, and take like a little butter knife and just scrape that rosin, and then that's the concentrate that you can use.
Darby just told on me.
Yeah.
So Aaron, if I've ever broke a hair straightener, I'm sorry.
it was your daughter. It wasn't you.
It just fell, I promise.
And so it's funny now, buddy. Because like I just mentioned it, like I think that's like the next craze. But that's something that they were doing 10 years ago, and Donnie was making bubble hash as one of the very first ways of like,
yeah,
how can we smoke something that's stronger than just flower? You know, originally it was keef. Well, if we keef this buds, right? We can add keef on top.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Carroll County. The first time I ever saw a keef box was a certain friend from Carroll County. The first time I ever smoked keef, I remember he had like the traditional like wooden cedar box, right? Mm-hmm. And the screen on it. And he pulls out this glass, and it's covered in this, like, what looked to me like green cocaine. And I'm like, what is this powdery stuff that he's putting on? Like, oh, my parents told me they were going to spike the weed. Yeah. Now, like, what do I do? And I remember smoking it, and just the euphoric feeling I got was much more intense than I had gotten from just regular flower. And, like, that was my first experience with keef. And then right around then, I had also saw guys taking hair presses and start pushing out the rosin. And then, like, it kind of went away. Like, you didn't really see too much of it anymore. And then now in California, that's like, you tip those guys. It's almost like the guy who shucks your oysters or the guy who, I don't know, cracks your coconut over your frozen drink. Hey. The idea is you grab your bud and you want the guy who can press the best, who's going to get the most yield, who's going to do it the best. So.
That's a really temperate process. I mean, 10 degrees could mean good or bad concentrate, you know?
Yeah, I remember looking in MCC regulations, making so that won't be done anywhere in Maryland anytime soon. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, maybe to your earliest point, like everything's going back to natural and normal. And as much love as we have for these amazing processes, like we also kind of love the fact that you can just squeeze this natural plant, scrape it, and smoke it.
I mean, it's no different that people want to go in, they want to buy a fruit smoothie or, you know, some type of drink with a bunch of vegetables in it, and they pull the vegetables right off the shelf behind it, stick in the blender, put in a cup, and you're good to go. Same thing, right?
That's it.
So is there anything else, if someone's looking at this that they need to... So cleaning. Last thing, cleaning. You talked about your process and eating chili dogs. That was a really good analogy. I'm probably the gentleman who has chili dog stains.
You got chili dogs all over yourself.
My dad, Matt, also has, you know, weed shake on it. And it's not... I've gotten a lot better. So for me... I'm nowhere near as meticulous as Donnie, but when I've gone to Donnie's house, you will always see a cup of isopropyl alcohol. You'll always see Q-tips.
Yeah.
That's the main piece, right? Because the biggest thing that's going to get dirty the fastest is going to be your banger.
Yeah, your quartz banger, yep. And if you're dabbing correctly and if you have a drop down, you won't have to clean your rig as much. I mean, I can put some grams through a rig, and if I'm doing it correctly, it's, you know, I can go without cleaning it for months sometime. Yeah. A lot's going to depend on what you're dabbing too. Yeah.
So you're using a Q-tip. So as soon as you're getting done, you're immediately taking a Q-tip and alcohol and wiping out your banger. And then you're still using salt and alcohol to clean your piece.
Yeah. So I'll take a Q-tip dipped in ISO and wipe it out. And then I'll take another Q-tip dipped in water. Or sometimes I'll just do it dry, depending on how much ISO is in there.
How hot it is.
Yeah. And then I'll always give it a nice heat up, you know. before I dab. I don't cold start dab too much. I'm pretty comfortable with temperature and everything, you know.
Awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, to your other question, yes, I use 91 or 99% ISO with coarse sea salt in my rig, and I'll fill it up maybe a quarter of the way and then just shake, plug both sides and shake the crap out of it as much as I can. It usually, it'll loose everything up within 5 minutes of shaking, maybe.
I'm pro kosher salt, but we have pretty much the same.
You just do all alcohol?
Yeah, okay. I use alcohol and the blue kosher salt that I've used for the last 15 years. The only reason why I use kosher salt now, I don't drink margaritas anymore. I also will, I don't do this so much for my dab rig, but for a flower, I really like Simple Green. Mm. Simple Green is a great non-toxic substance that you can just throw your flower stuff in, no matter how milky or gunky it is. 12 hours with some hot water as soon as you pull it out, and it's almost, if it's not sparkling clean, it's definitely to a point where you can easily add some alcohol and salt and shake it up and get it clean. I think, you know, I think using clean bongs and dab rigs and tools is really essential, especially if you're going to spend the money and get something that's been handcrafted to preserve terpenes and cannabinoids, and you see the full spectrum of it. Why put it in something dirty? Or look at Donnie's face. Oh, Donnie's, man. It like pains him.
That's the worst, man.
It is the worst. It's like using a dirty bar glass, right?
Golly. Oh, man. It hurts my feelings. It honestly does. Like, I can understand, like, budget circumstances. If you can't afford to have another piece to dab out of, it is what it is. You're still going to medicate through it. I can promise you it's not the same experience, though. When you have a standalone dab rig and you just use that for your concentrates, it changes everything.
Yeah, with prices going down, I would, you know, that should be something you want to strive to invest in. I was doing when we first opened up, because I wasn't dabbing very often. That's what I was doing. I was just throwing the quartz banger onto my bong.
Shame
and
on
it's,
you.
It's like night and day difference, because all you're tasting is bong water at that point.
Yeah, it is. Man.
Even if you clean it out, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Use a fresh rig. Only use it for concentrates and keep it clean, and you'll have a really good experience. So, I really thank you so much for breaking these things down for us. I know that for folks that are experienced or inexperienced, it was really helpful to be able to go through the gamut. I look forward to a time when regulations are less significant and we're able to dab on camera and demystify some of this again, but